continue with it today. Our scripture this morning comes from the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. For ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows opportunity comes up." But our scripture today that I read deals with the church, which is you and me. Now, it's not these walls and the ceiling. It's not our new structure over here. That's not the church. The church is you and me. And that's what it deals with. And the scripture talks about us using the gifts that God has given us for His kingdom. Just like Robert said there. Not so that we can put X amount of people in the pews, or so we can fill our budget requirements, financial requirements, which is always a good thing. But it's not for that purpose. The idea is if we do these things and take care of God's kingdom and doing for God's kingdom, that all those other things, the scripture kind of says something about do all these things and do all this and these things shall be added unto you. Well, we want to take hold of that and affirm that and believe that and practice that in our walk with Christ. To start here, Paul in this passage tells us four things that we need to know before we can be truly effective in ministry. And John, I'm going to run through some of these verses here if you want to put them back up as I call, as I come to them. There's four things I want to look at, and I'm going to try to do this as brief as possible, but you know me in brevity, I'm not the best at that. Paul tells us four things we need to know before we can be effective. First of all, we must present ourselves to God. Verse 1, John. You don't have it? It was incorrect. Okay, that's all right. I can read it right here. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Let me read that to you again. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Present your bodies, it says. We have to say, we have to make the affirmation, "Here I am, Lord. Do with me what you want." Now, the Scripture's not telling us to say, "Here I am, Lord. Do with me what I would like for you to do with me." We present ourselves and say, "Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. You use me as you see fit." It's about surrender. It's about giving ourselves completely to God. Now, we've talked a lot about, I've preached a lot about it, you got to give your heart to the Lord, right? And you do. But you see, there's more to our walk with Christ. There's more to our life lived out in a relationship with God than just giving our heart. "Oh, I just give my heart and don't have to worry anything about it. Here it is, Lord. Here's my heart." He wants more than that. He wants our physical being as well. In other words, He wants our actions, the daily living that we do, He wants that to match up with where our heart is. One of the ladies at the conference, she drew a picture and said something that has just stuck since, I believe it was Friday night. I can't get the image out of my mind. She was talking about us being in Christ. The phrase "in Christ" or something to that effect is repeated over 100 times in the New Testament, that we are to be in Christ. Now, we talk about having Christ in our heart, having Him in our heart. And that's good. We need Him in our heart. I'm not saying take Him out of your heart. But more than having Christ in our hearts, we need to put ourselves into Christ. See, when we put Christ just in our heart, you know, that puts a little Jesus in there. You know, I got Him in there. It's a little spot right there. You see that? That's not a stain. That's Jesus in my heart right there, you know. But what we need to do is be in Him. That's a big Jesus. That's big God. That's more than just a little touch of Jesus. But we submit and allow ourselves to be enveloped by Him and allow Him to lead us, allow Him to guide us. We need to allow ourselves to be in Christ, not just in our hearts. He wants our lives to reflect the change of heart that we've had. The second thing we need to know to be truly effective in ministry is this. We don't conform, we are transformed. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed. Don't settle for what the world offers. The world tells us that wealth and possessions and power are what are ultimately important in our existence, in our life. Those things are the things that we'll be measured by. And when we put those things first, what happens? We become greedy. We become selfish, self-centered. It's all about me. When we do these things, what ultimately happens is that we become enslaved to the pursuit of these things, like wealth and power and position, prestige, whatever you choose to put in that line. We become enslaved to them because we can never get enough. There's always one more dollar that can be earned, or one more house that can be bought, or one more something somewhere. There's always, and we become enslaved to it. Our whole life is focused upon it. Paul says, don't conform to this way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow Jesus to change, to transform you daily. Transformation shifts the importance from me to thee. It transfers the importance from me to he and she. Transformation takes it away from the individual, from self, to the others in our life. I don't have to be enslaved to things, because now giving is what is important. Giving is what brings pleasure. Giving is the focus of life. Now, I tell you, I love to give. I mean, not just from the pastoral preacher standpoint. I love the welcome table. My favorite thing, and I know if it's not her favorite thing, she sure does it well, is doing for those who come. And picking up plates. Brenda gets the plates and cleans up when people eat and leave. I love when people come in. I've got to know a lot of the people and what they drink. To take them their drink to them. To look and see what they need, some coffee, or their water needs to be refilled. I love going and doing that. I love seeing Miss Audrey and Helen there, and they need some more coffee, and going over and filling up their cup. And I see them smiling there now. It makes you feel good when somebody does that, doesn't it? I love doing that because it's giving of something, and it's so simple and so easy for us to do. I love serving other people and seeing them recognize and receive the joy that comes when somebody just shows that they care about them and that they're looking to help them out or to give. I love giving. You know, Calvin Dixon could break out one of his old crusty $1 million bills and give it to me, and I'd give most of it away. You know, I'm afraid I'd have to give the government some probably, but I'd give most. I might take another vacation to the Caribbean and maybe stay 2 weeks this time. I don't know. But I would give most of it away to help people, to feed people, and to house people. I'd love doing that. About 8 years ago, or 7 years ago, well, when Renee and I got married, I'll start there. When Renee and I got married, she paid the bills. Every month, she paid the bills. She wrote the electric, the power, you know, all the bills. She paid them. Well, when we moved 7 years ago, she said, I've been paying the bills for 8 years. I've been writing the checks for 8 years. I'm tired of it. And I said, okay, honey, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. I said, I'll write them now. Well, I've been writing them for 7 years now. And so this is just fair warning. I got one more year, and then, you know, somebody else is going to have to do it. I hate paying the bills. I hate seeing those bills come in. And I don't mind paying them because I like having the warmth that Progress Energy allows me to have and the natural gas company allows me to keep warm. I like having that, but I just don't like paying those bills. I don't like writing those checks and putting stamps on the envelopes and putting them on their way. But you know what? There's one check every month that I'm happy to write. It ain't to my children. It's the tithe that we give each month to the church. And I'm happy to give that because I trust what's being done with it. I know how it's being used. And I know there are people that I never see and will never see that are benefiting because I'm being faithful to what God has called me to do. That I am transformed by His power to such that I don't mind turning loose of that money. I enjoy it. I'm glad to do it. I haven't always felt that way. It wasn't a natural thing for me. I like playing golf. I like going to the beach. I like doing those things. And I could sure spend my tithe money, you know, on some mighty fun things there. But it's the transformation that God is working within me and continues to do that makes it possible for me to write a check every month to Francis Asbury United Methodist Church and be happy about it. There's not one of us here today that God won't transform if we allow Him to do that. If we will give Him all of who we are and not just a part. Don't just allow Him into our heart, but be in Christ totally and completely. The third thing that we need to know to truly accept, to truly be effective in ministry, is to know, don't begin to think that you're more important than someone else in the body of Christ. Verses 3 through 5. For I say, through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let me just stop there. Being many, we have one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We don't need to think, folks, that just because we're in a position as the pastor, that we're more important than someone else in the church. Just because you're the Sunday school teacher, it doesn't make you more important than someone else. There are no jobs in the church. There are no functions that one is more important than the other. Folks, the truth is that if we're a body, then we need each other to function. We need those that come and take the trash off. We need those that clean and sweep and dust and mop and vacuum. We need those who teach. We need those who pray. We need those who visit and call the sick and shut-ins. We need each and every one. And without one of those, the church, the body, is less than totally effective. I think about Chip. I asked Chip if I could use him as an example this morning. I think about Chip and the accident he had many years ago. And if you don't know Chip, and he doesn't have full use of his arm, one arm. He had an accident, and there are things that you can't do now that you could do with both arms, right, Chip? Now, Chip, I have to say, he can do a whole lot more than I can do, about 99% of things. But there's still things that if he had full use of both arms, he could do better, easier, more efficiently, more effectively than he can now. It's the same way here among us, folks. When your gift is not being utilized, when you fail to use your gift in the church, the body, doesn't function as efficiently as it could. Don't think that any job is more important than the other. The fourth thing we need to know to be truly effective in ministry is you need to know each one of you needs to know that you have gifts. Verse 6, the first part of verse 6. Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Having then gifts. Paul says that you have gifts. Not if you have gifts. Don't tell me that you don't have no gifts. I don't want to hear one of you ever tell me that I don't have any gifts. Because when you tell me that, what you're doing is you're calling the Word of God a liar because it says that you do. Tell me that you don't know or that you may not understand, that you may not realize what your gifts are. I can accept that, and I'll tell you, and I tell you now, we're going to work and see what those gifts are, and we're going to find out what those gifts are, and we're going to utilize those gifts. Do you have gifts? Absolutely you have them, and you have them for a reason, so that they may be used in the building of God's kingdom. Now, you know these things now. You know these four things you need. Now that you know these things you need to be truly effective in ministry, you need to know the kind of gifts you may possess. No one has all the gifts that there are, but you each have individual, unique gifts. Gifts can be divided into two categories. First of these categories you find in the second part of verse 6, and the gifts are the gifts of prophecy. The second part of verse 6 says this, if prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion. In proportion to our faith. Now, I'm going to use my gift of prophecy right now. I can't tell what you're all thinking. I'm not a prophet. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have that gift of prophecy. You see, I'm a prophet, right? I've got that gift of prophecy. You see, the truth is about the prophecy thing is that the word prophecy, which has been translated into our English word prophecy, doesn't necessarily and always in every situation mean that kind of gift which the person stands up on the mountaintop against all the foes of the world and says, thus saith the Lord, and then gets stoned to death. It doesn't mean that kind of prophecy. Prophecy in this sense means the gifts that involve speaking. There are five speaking gifts that the Scriptures identify. Prophecy, the one where I'm talking about that you do get stoned to death after you say what thus saith the Lord. Then there is teaching. Do you know you're a prophet, Vance? Teaching Sunday school, you're a prophet. It's a speaking ministry. Don't laugh at it. You've got that gift. I promise you. Encouragement. I know folks in this church that can encourage you at the drop of a hat, that can say the right words to just lift you up. You're a prophet. There's the word of wisdom, which has to do with just applying good common sense. I know you folks in here too. You're a prophet. And then there's the gift of the word of knowledge, which is the kind of person that is just seeped with with not just wisdom, but has really searched out God and understands the deeper things of God. And I know you folks too. You have the gift of prophecy. Right here, there are dozens of prophets in this church. The second type of gift in ministry is the gift of ministry. Verses 7 and 8. See what Paul says there. For ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, who gives with liberality, who leads with diligence, who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The second type of gifts are the gifts of ministry. And again, I'm going to use my prophetic powers here, my prophetic gift. And you're saying, well, I'm not a minister, so I don't have to worry about those gifts either. Well, I've been bust you bubble about the prophecy. I'm going to bust you bubble about the ministry part now. Here, you are a minister. You are called into the ministry, which means service. Not one of us here doesn't have the gift of serving in some shape, form, or fashion. The Scripture identifies seven specific gifts of service. Helps. The gift of helps. There's not a soul here that can't help. It may be taking off the trash. It may be doing something like changing the sign out there, and I'm sure if anybody has passion for that, that'd be one of the things that Daniel would be glad to hand over to somebody that really wants to take care of something like that. There's all kinds of ways you can help. I see Bill back there. Bill Stevenson, he comes whenever he can to the welcome table, and you know what he does? He washes dishes. He helps. Everybody has that gift. You can use it. Mercy. It's a non-speaking gift. Showing mercy. Faith. Discernment of spirits. Leadership. Managing and giving. Folks, there are gifts that you have. You may not realize them. You may not understand them. But you're gifted. God has gifted you. Each one of you are special. God created you unique and with a purpose. There's no way, I can promise you, no way you're ever going to feel complete and totally fulfilled until you accept the fact that God has given a gift to you and you're to use it to His glory. Today we come together and we celebrate communion once again. We celebrate in communion being one in Christ. We do that, and some of the liturgy says, because we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one loaf. The reason we can be one in so many is because Jesus is the source of who we are, the ministry that we perform, all of that which we share. This morning, I invite you, as we come to the Lord's table once again, that we will come together as one, truly committing to be one body, working in harmony to perform and conduct God's will. This morning I ask